That is a real beautiful definition of that biblical joy, is that I don't have to be fake. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to pretend. I didn't have to appease somebody else's definition of what my emotions should be. I could just authentically be who I am. Mm-hmm. And I think there's beauty in that.
Welcome to More Than Small Talk. We're Susie Eller,
Jennifer Watson,
and Holly Girth, writers and real-life friends. We're inviting you to go deeper, become freer, and feel more connected.
So imagine you have a cup of coffee, a mug of tea, or a green smoothie in your hand,
and we're all hanging out in your favorite place together. Hey friends, this is Susie. I know that Holly normally starts this, but we've been talking about joy in the last two episodes. I hope that you go and listen to those. But what happened afterwards was just a really honest conversation about our struggles with joy. And so what you're going to hear is, actually, we're just inviting you, grab your chair, pull it close, and we're just going to have an honest conversation about the things that come up for us personally when it comes to this word or concept of joy. So what comes up personally for you that just feels uncertain as we talk about joy?
Well, behind the scenes, I feel like there was a wrestling going on between all of us. Like,
sure.
We were really wrestling with our feelings of joy and how we felt about it. And I thought, this is really incredible, because I felt like this is the gold part. But I think that the thing with joy that I have experienced a lot is the foreboding joy that Brené Brown talks about, is where you're maybe watching your child sleep or something like that, and you're experiencing this intense love and feeling of protection and all of that. And then the fear creeps in, like something could happen and I could lose all of that.
Yeah.
So I feel like there is the joy that I'm afraid of.
Yeah.
Because like, what if this is it?
So you're afraid to feel joy because it could be taken away.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Brené Brown says joy is the most vulnerable emotion.
It mm-hmm. is.
And I thought that was so fascinating when I heard
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Well, and Holly, you were saying, okay, I feel more comfortable. I'll let you share.
Yeah. I said, I think at the end of the last episode, that negative emotions often feel more comfortable to me mm-hmm. or safer. I should say safer.
Yeah.
To me, than joy. I think joy is an emotion you have to really open yourself up to experience. And there's the risk of loss. Not all of us are naturally wired in a way where joy comes easily to us.
Absolutely.
I think it's also like, what have people in our lives responded with love to? Was it you're in a home where everyone's supposed to be happy all the time? Or was it you get the most love when you fall and skin your knee? You know,
mm-hmm.
so like what was affirmed in your life? I don't know. I just think that like background, spiritual, personality, mm-hmm. natural wiring, there's just a lot of different factors, I think, that play into our relationship with joy.
I agree. And Kara, you were part of that discussion after. So, share.
I really identified with what you said at the end of the last episode, Holly, that yeah, for me, the negative emotions often feel safer. And they also I feel a lot of pressure around joy and the positive emotions. I feel a lot of pressure from sometimes the church to spiritually bypass my experiences. And so therefore, for some reason, and maybe part of this is, again, our wiring, I tend towards depression. And so sometimes those negative emotions feel more authentic to me. Joy often feels fake, and it feels like something I have to conjure up and come up with and put on. So then it often feels fake, even maybe if I really am feeling some joy, or it just feels like something I should have. And I don't know. And so I'm sure there's some like self-fulfilling prophecies in there somewhere where it's like, if I'm more comfortable with this, then I self-sabotage sometimes maybe. But if I'm really honest, sometimes the hard, sad places of life, like that stuff feels more real and more authentic to me than yeah. the happy stuff.
Yeah.
Which is hard to say out loud.
But it
But I also think that we have to have permission to wrestle through things and mm-hmm. to be honest with each other. And, you know, when I write a book called Joy Keeper, mm-hmm. I think the vulnerability in that is that somebody's going to say, oh, Susie's always happy.
Mm. That's not what you meant at all.
It's not what I mean at all. Mm. It means that I wrestled through in a time where joy felt elusive.
Mm. Yeah.
Like the joy that I thought I should have, the joy that I thought should be just an instant byproduct of my faith, because doesn't scripture say rejoice always, you know, and that's what you hear. And yet that's why I went back to the word is because, Lord, if somehow this is what I'm supposed to be presenting, I can't.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't because it's not real. And so I needed to find for myself, what does it mean to be a joy keeper? And it wasn't just this. Honestly, it was allowing me to be authentically me
mm-hmm.
more than anything. Mm. Not Susie the joyful person or Susie that's positive. It was Susie that's loved by God and Susie that goes through hard times and knows that I have a refuge and a place to go to talk about that. But also Susie who can laugh until, you know, I have a story that, and I don't think I've ever shared this with anyone, or if I have, it would have been in a close group of just friends, but it was the last week of my brother's life, and my sister and I were at the hospice house with him, and they had asked us to leave, which was hard. Mm-hmm. And the reason they did, and like I said, I just feel very vulnerable sharing this because it's one of the hardest parts of my life. Mm-hmm. And they said, he's not going to let go. If you guys are here, can you go upstairs just for a few hours, then come back down?
Mm.
And so Mindy and I went upstairs and we couldn't find any place. It was the middle of the night. We stripped a couch of its cushions and we made like a fort. And we were laying on these cushions just trying to sleep, and something happened and the fort fell apart. Mindy fell in the middle of it hard in the bottom. She started laughing and I got tickled and I laughed until I wept. Like, it was just this most bizarre moment in the hardest part of our lives. And I found joy in that. And it wasn't like happy, happy joy. It was like, I'm losing a brother and it's hard and I miss him already and this sucks. And I'm sorry if that's a bad word to say on KLRC. This is not what I want. And yet we laid and we laughed until the tears came, and then the tears turned to sorrow. But it's still one of the most beautiful moments of my whole life. And I later realized they had cameras over the whole place. So there were people who actually got to watch this weird moment and probably thought, what is wrong with those people? But, you know, I just remember in that moment being able to be authentically laughing over a goofy moment with my sister while grieving deeply the imminent loss. And I lost him the next morning, losing him the next morning. And I could be Susie. I could be Susie in both those moments.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like for me, that is a real beautiful definition of that biblical joy, is that I don't have to be fake.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to pretend. I didn't have to appease somebody else's definition of what my emotions should be. I could just authentically be who I am.
Mm.
And I think there's beauty in that.
That is beautiful.
Yeah. Hey, friends, we've been going deep on the topic of joy. If you would like to go deeper too, I'd love to invite you to read my new book, Joy Keeper, 6 Truths That Change Everything You Thought You Knew About Joy. You can find it at any place that sells books, but you can also find it at my website at suzanneeller.com.
I don't remember who said it, but there's a quote somewhere that is floating around the internet. It says something about joy and grief dance together like they were supposed to, like they belong together. Mm-hmm. And I think they do belong together often.
100%.
While you were talking, I kept thinking about the movie Inside Out.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the best explanations and like unpacking of the role of joy and sadness in our lives. Because if you've seen the movie, you know, like the emotion joy is living inside this little 12-year-old or 11-year-old Riley's head. And she's trying to protect her from this move across country, from this big change in life. And she's trying to do it in the ways that we often think we're supposed to do it. Like, no, don't look at that. And she's trying not to let sadness in on this experience at all. She's literally trying to force sadness from having any say or any role in this experience for Riley. And sadness keeps trying to come up and touch the console and do something. And Joy is like, no, I'm not going to let this happen. I have to protect my little girl. And what happens is basically like the theme of the movie is like when you try to cut off sadness, you end up cutting off true joy as well.
Yeah.
But we often try to do that. We try to cut off one or the other. And you can't have the full range if you cut one off. And so they both end up getting sucked into the void. And all that's left is disgust and anger and fear to run the ship.
Yeah.
And she ends up becoming, towards the end of the movie, spoilers, but if you haven't seen it, I would be surprised.
It's a really old movie.
It's an old movie. It's a good movie. And it's great if you're wrestling with this. She ends up not being able to feel anything. She goes numb when they try to remove those emotions because fear, disgust, and anger can't run the ship. And basically, what ends up happening is Joy realizes, oh, sadness is necessary to help her process this change in situations. And Joy can't come in until the sadness comes in and allows her to express the need of, I need support here. Like, I need to not be alone in this. I need to be allowed to be sad about this because that's a normal experience to these changes. And then as soon as she opens herself up to that, Joy can come in and they have these. She has these new core memories that are both colors. They're blue and yellow, whereas before all her core memories were one solid color.
Yeah.
And now she has a new core memory that is blue and yellow.
Yeah.
And that's the reality of our lives is most experiences have more than one color, more than one emotion in there. And that's authentic. Mm-hmm. And that's beautiful. And I think that's the way we're designed. But we as humans want to like pick one or the other. We want to zone in on that and be like, no, I can only feel positive emotions or only feel sad. But like, we're designed to experience them both.
Yeah. Well, and we talked about this a little bit in the last episode is often there's some deep roots and it's okay. It's
definitely,
there's a couple of things to look at here. One is we're all wired differently and good grief. I want to give myself permission to be wired as Susie. Mm-hmm. And I also want to give Holly, Jennifer, and Kara permission to be wired as the way God wired you. It's what makes the world really, really beautiful. But the other thing is the deep roots that we bring is, let's say that you grew up hearing, listen, go to your room and when you're happy, you can come out. That's a deep root. Mm-hmm. You know, or if in our faith tradition, we've been told that if you show any sign of negative emotion, and honestly, I want to take that word negative off because who decided that sadness was a negative emotion? It's an emotion. But if we show emotion that doesn't resonate with happy, then we're told somehow that we need to dig deeper into our faith and be happy. So there's some deep roots, right?
Mm-hmm. So if someone asked me what is the most confusing verse in the entire Bible, maybe leaving out Leviticus.
or Numbers.
I would say rejoice always.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So Suze, I imagine that you studied that. What does that actually mean? And what do we do with that?
Yeah. So if that is supposed to be a picture of us walking around with a smile on our face and always happy, then yes, that's confusing. Mm. But if it again, if we go to, and there wasn't just one biblical definition. I gave one in the episode, which is to intentionally lean into the character and goodness of God right where you are. But there were others, and one was deeply rooted. So if it means deeply rooted, all it's saying is, again, go to the source of your joy. Always. That's your first, that's the first place to go, is not to shut off your emotions, but to be able to fully express your emotions. Rejoice always. I think that we've taken verses out of context or not allowed them to pair with other verses throughout Scripture. And you brought this up, Holly. The character of Jesus was he allowed himself to express emotions fully, even anger. And so if I look at that in context, then that doesn't jive with the word rejoice always. But if it means that I'm to stay deeply rooted in my anger to the source of my joy, I'm going to stay deeply rooted the source of my joy when I'm sad, that I can do. And it's not dependent on me anymore. Mm. You know? I think we go back to the verse in Jeremiah. I believe it's, it's in Jeremiah. We'll just say that. I believe it's 17, 7 through 8. But when it talks about the tree that was, you know, battered and bruised and went through the hard times and the heat came and the winds came, and yet it produced fruit. It was green and produced fruit. That wasn't dependent upon the tree. The tree was meant to fly through the air and shrivel up and go away because it's just a tree. But because it was deeply rooted in the source of life, of water, not only was it able to come out on the other side of that, it made it. But somehow God brought fruit out of that too. And I thought about that in some of my worst seasons when I think, God, I'm so busy just struggling and fighting. There's no way anything good can come out of this. And somehow yet, there are moments where I have those moments with God or moments with others. And I think, okay, you did something I couldn't do on my own here. Mm. And that's that fruit.
Yeah. I think the lie that I believed through misinterpreting that verse is feeling sad is a sin. Mm-hmm. And feeling tired is a sin.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
So name that. I mean, bring that to the table. Like,
I mean, I didn't realize it until in this moment. Yeah. I'm like, what lie am I believing attached to that verse that is not actually in alignment with the truth God's trying to convey through it? Mm-hmm. And it's that, like,
wow.
Feeling sad is a sin. Feeling tired is a sin. Mm-hmm. It's a spiritual failure that I can't get myself to feel joy.
And we talked about this in the time before we came together. I think what I see and I've always seen in you is a woman whose roots are deep in the water. Mm-hmm. So I see joy.
Yeah. So that's a very helpful reframe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
I see joy in you. I see, like, it surprises me if you define yourself by anything other than joy. I get it. I understand that there's sadness and there's wrestling and that's humanity. That's human.
Yeah.
It's what we bring to the table as humans. But I also see the strength and a measure of joy that's bigger than that in you because of your source. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kara, you nodded when I said that. Is that?
Yeah. I don't know if it's because, like, I can't exactly put my finger on why those two are connected. But when you said tired, my brain went, whoa, like, what in the world? But I feel a lot of shame about sadness and tiredness. And I guess maybe it's because we equate the emotion joy with, like, energy, energetic and enthusiastic. Yeah. And that's what we're taught we're supposed to be growing up, or we were taught
gymnast
somehow.
Gymnast for Jesus, joyful gymnast for Jesus.
Like cheerleaders. I don't know why, though. Like, why was that why? Like, okay. Where did that even come from?
So I wrote, when we were having this conversation, I know this is going longer than we normally do, but listen, we're wrestling. Thank you for wrestling with us. Yeah. I wrote supposed to, because that's the word I kept hearing come up. Supposed to. Yeah. Supposed to feel this way. I'm supposed to be this way. I'm supposed to.
Yeah.
And man, I would just like to, like, take a big X and put it through those words. So again, the Bible nerd in me, when I don't know what to do, I go to the Word. And I remember somebody calling me the other day and just saying, hey, I'm really wrestling. Somebody gave me a list of things that I'm supposed to do to be a Christian,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it, like it was a list. Ugh. And this person read this list to me and said, like, I'm really struggling because I don't think maybe I don't pass this test.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought this person to John chapter 6, verses 28 through 29. And so people said to him, what must we do to do the works of God? What do we need to do?
Hmm.
And that is a question that's trying to earn approval. That's mm-hmm. the supposed to's. Am I doing enough? Should I be doing more?
Mm-hmm.
Should I be doing this? Should I be doing that? Not doing that? And what Jesus said to them was so beautiful. He said, the work of God is to only believe in the one who was sent for you. That mm-hmm. is the work of God. The work of God is to believe. Only believe is what he said. The only believe in the one who was sent for you. And I was talking to this person on the phone and I said, that takes all the pressure off for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is Jesus himself talking and he's not holding up a list. Mm-hmm. And they're asking specifically, what do we do?
Yeah.
Only believe in the one who was sent.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, if those are the words of Jesus, then those words are for me too. And those are the words for you. And if some well-meaning person or culture or tradition says, no, no, you're supposed to. And I would say, I'm only asked to believe and I do. And belief changes me.
Mm-hmm.
Belief is where change and transformation begins. And that's where I'm invited to go. And that's all I'm asked to do. And God does the rest.
Mm.
Will doing come out of that? Absolutely. Will joy come out of that? Absolutely. But it won't be to earn approval.
Mm.
It won't be the supposed to's. It will be an overflow of the relationship that we have with the one who was sent for us.
Yeah.
Mm. So I'm preaching again. I'm
okay. Preaching,
girls.
Good. Good. We like it when Susie preaches.
Yeah. So maybe we could just bring to this table today, all of us, those who are listening, those of us sitting around in this studio, and we bring to the table all the misconceptions and misteachings that have been placed on our heart and say, they say that if I'm tired, or I say, if I'm tired, somehow I'm not measuring up. But Jesus says the only work of God he requires for me is to believe, and I do. And that's enough.
Mm.
I bring to this table, and I set it before you, Jesus, this belief that if I'm sad and not a joyful, jumping cheerleader for Jesus, that somehow I don't measure up. I bring that to the table and put it before you because all that you ask of me is that I believe. And I do, and it's more than enough.
And that's it for today's episode. Thanks for going deeper, becoming freer, and connecting with us. More Than Small Talk is a part of the KLRC Podcast Network and is produced by Kara Culver. Show notes and resources are available on the More Than Small Talk page on klrc.com. You can also join us in our Facebook group. Subscribe to More Than Small Talk on your favorite app so you won't ever miss an episode.